Morning, everyone. Thursday, May 26. Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. Clarkie's got a fox problem. Well, what's going on? Morning to you, mate.
Morning, buddy. Morning, Loz. Morning to our listeners. Well, I don't know if it's a problem. I'm just seeing a lot of foxes in the area, which is, you would assume, a little strange. Different if you live on a bit of property. But, yeah, in where I live, it's just a little strange. But, yeah, I'm seeing them probably
plenty of
way more regularly than you would like. But they're obviously getting into the bins and a bit of tucker floating about. But, yeah, just thought I'd let you boys know that plenty of foxes in the eastern suburbs at this stage. 4 o'clock in the morning.
No dinosaurs?
You see them regularly. No dinosaurs yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm eyes wide open when driving. Put it that way.
Good stuff. Morning to you, Lozza.
Morning, boys. Yeah, not too bad. Good game of footy tonight. Manly taking on the Melbourne Storm. I actually give Manly a chance tonight.
Oof, really?
Harry Grant's not playing. Still a bit of doubt about Jerome Hughes. They haven't been playing the best of football. I know Manly have been struggling, and they've been doing that with Tommy T. But, yeah, I think this will be closer than a lot of people think. But, yeah, looking forward to the Origin teams being announced on the weekend, on Sunday night. Everyone gets a last chance to push their case forward. Interesting to see what type of teams both New South Wales and Queensland come up with. But, yeah, tonight's game should be a beauty.
Yeah, looking forward to it tonight. Last night there were 70,000 people at Accor Stadium to see Barcelona come back from 2-1 down. They beat the A-League All-Stars 3-2. And what looked a pretty good night there. By the way, yesterday we were talking about that five-bedroom show, and Brett has texted in already saying, good show, boys.
Really?
Five bedrooms.
What's it about?
Absolutely zero idea, but okay. Last night on 10 Bold, you could have watched Barcelona 3-2 in the end against the A-League All-Stars, 70,000 people, which is good to see. Some unfortunate news, and I'll just read this text out, Loz. Sad news, RE, Jared Croker re-injuring his shoulder again. If he retires, he's played 292 games for the one club, the third highest point scorer in NRL history, but never played for his state or country. Great clubman, says Graham, and the news yesterday that he's out for the game against Para on Sunday afternoon and dislocated his shoulder on Tuesday and reportedly at home. It's popped out, and it's the same one that he hurt against the Bulldogs only a few weeks ago. So he needs scans. And
I'd be pretty confident the scans will confirm that he'll need to go in and have an operation now. I think that when you're at home and something like that occurs, it's not a good sign.
Well, it's exactly what you told us about the basketball game.
You'd expect it to happen in a training contact session or during a game because you can land awkwardly. You put your body under a lot more pressure and stress. But if you're just at home lifting something or reaching out for something and it's popped out, that suggests to me that, that shoulder is no good and the tendons will be gone and he'll have to go in and have a shoulder reconstruction. If that's the end of his career, he's had a beauty career. He's had a beautiful career with the Raiders. It's been sensational. And he's been well regarded there. He's been a good leader. What'd you say? Third highest point scorer in NRL history. So that's a massive achievement. Unfortunately, if he is out, he won't get the opportunity to reach that 300 games. Off contract at the end of the season, it'd be a big decision if the Raiders re-signed him again. His career could well be over, but it's not the terms he wanted to go out on, if that's the case. But he's certainly given everything he's had, and one of the highlights of his career would have been leading the Raiders to that 2019 grand final appearance against the Roosters with Aaron Luckey in that contest.
Gee, that can really just, like, the luck can really turn against you. He had that stem cell surgery. That was his knee,
wasn't it? Yeah.
So there you are, thinking you've sorted out the knee problem. You come back, do your shoulder.
Yeah, it's a hard game, and this is the highs and lows that a lot of players go through throughout their career. And unfortunately for Jared, relatively injury-free for the majority of his career, but the last couple of years at the back end of your career when it takes a little bit longer when you're older to recover from these injuries, it places more strain on your body and, you see light at the end of the tunnel. You want to finish on your own terms. You can see 300 games there. not far down the track, and that would have been a goal of his this season to play 300 games. But we'll wait and see what the scans have to say, but it just doesn't look great for him at the moment.
Clark here, Sydney Morning Herald, saying that due to civil unrest in Sri Lanka, here we go, all the white ball matches, well, they've been moved to daytime, so there'll be no day-night games over there, but apparently Sri Lanka's going through a hell of a time, having to get supplies shipped in, medicines, fuel, etc.
There's
no
fuel left in the country.
Yes.
That's what they're saying, that because they couldn't pay, I actually saw that a couple of days ago, because they couldn't pay whatever the number was, the lineup, and they got all the tut-tuts over there as well in Sri Lanka. The lineup for the service station when they announced it was the last day of fuel, it was like let's say 2Ks of these tut-tuts lined up. So even like you couldn't drive, you couldn't get through the road because everyone was lined up for fuel.
Mm.
They're saying there's no fuel left in the country. How's that going to work?
Well, ACA, the Cricketers Association boss, Todd Greenberg, he concedes the players aren't exactly comfortable going there at the moment.
And for good reasons. Well,
they leave on Wednesday.
How do they have a bus?
Yeah, well, this is the hardest thing as well. Like, even with that, so I know I'm all for if you can play, go and play to put smiles on people's faces, right? It's that important. And in that country, that's one of the countries that they do. They absolutely love their cricket. But if you're in a position where your country can't do the day-to-day things to survive, to live, like, cricket's got to become the last thing on your mind. You know, how's the police escort and the team bus and the 20 cars that take the players to the ground? How can that be okay? Yet you got people that can't fill their tut-tut up to take their kids to school or to get from A to B. Like, you can't have the cake and eat it. I think, you know, the country has to come first, and this is where you don't want sport to get involved in politics. But unfortunately, it sounds to me like this country's in a situation now where cricket should be the last thing on their mind. They've got so many issues going on that it's got to take precedence over a game of cricket.
Yeah, you'd like to think if, you know, they've got the protection too when they go over there.
Security's ridiculous over there.
You know, if they're out of petrol, out of people, well, follow them around.
And it's not a good look. You've got three police escorts, a team bus.
Yeah, and everyone else can't get around.
No one else can drive on the road. There's no petrol. That's not fair. That's not right. But
There's curfews over there.
Yeah. I think from Australia's perspective, I think the ACA, Cricket Australia, and the players will do everything they can to do what's right. And that they will want to go and play. There's no doubt about it. But it sounds to me with what's going on, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the tour will go ahead.
Well,
look at that photo.
I'm showing the guys a photo. That is a Sri Lankan government minister's house.
That's not good. That.
Up in flames. So that is that's just to give you an indication of the unrest. That country is in a bit of turmoil.
I follow Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela J. Wardner on social media as well. And for the last couple of months, some of the stuff that they've been writing, posting, saying in regards to what's going on in the country, it doesn't sound like it's in a great place at all. And, I think the players have every reason to be asking questions and monitoring daily what's going on. But most important, Sri Lanka's a beautiful country. Mm. It is so beautiful. There's so many amazing parts. So I hope for their sake they find a way to sort this out.
Yeah, indeed, doesn't look good at all. So they're off on Wednesday, the Aussie side.
T20's first, all one day's first. I can't. It's definitely white ball, and then the test matches are last.
Last, yeah. They've got three T20s, 5 1 days.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big tour.
And then two tests. Yesterday, not sure you saw the NBA, Loz, but Dallas. We were right, if only we had a bean on that one as well. Because they were a decent price. They were, I think, slight favourites heading into the game.
Well, we always thought that, you know, they're too good a side to be losing 4-0 against Golden State Warriors, and in particular the game at home, and they were, you know, being embarrassed. So you thought they would come out and play some good basketball, and they did that. Although towards the end there, you started to get a little bit nervous because they were starting to come back, the Warriors. But Doncic, he's just a wonderful player. He scored 40 points. I thought, what was JR's multi yesterday?
She had the Warriors to win. I can't remember.
Warriors to win.
The other part of the league. So I was just looking at that
one. She had a combined
one.
40-odd points, didn't she? Doncic and someone?
Was that Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson.
And I think it was 50-plus between them.
50-plus, was it?
And Klay Thompson had hit three or more threes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, it was a good game. Keeps them in the series. They have to. I think they travel away now, don't they?
They go back
to Golden State.
Yes, game five in.
Yeah, could be all over in game five.
In the Bay Area. So 119-109. I'll tell you what, though, they nearly blew it. They're up by 29 points.
Yeah.
And they've ended up winning by 10. It got into single figures there.
If you're a Dallas supporter, you would have started to become a little bit nervous. But good to see. You loved seeing these sort of series go down to the death. You want to see them at least go to six or seven games. You don't want them to be all over after four, unless you've had a bet on them, or unless they're your team. But, you know, for an observer or a neutral observer sitting there watching, I like to see that contest.
Really, the reason I brought this game up, though, did you see Warriors coach Steve Kerr?
I saw his press conference, yeah.
Walked into a press conference yesterday and just he said, I'm not here to talk about basketball. If you come across it at all, I encourage our listeners to listen to it. It was as powerful as it gets in regards to what the absolute tragedy that occurred over in Texas yesterday. I think it's up to 22 people who have been shot and killed. Many of the kids in primary school. I mean, just can you even wrap your head around that? And Steve Kerr just went into his news conference. I think it was actually before the game.
It was before the game.
Yeah, and just spoke for 3 minutes and just implored the Republican senators in the states who you know, abstaining from whatever, or the background check law, I think, that they're trying to pass over there, or many are trying to pass over there in the US Congress, and just implored their, you know, power makers to do something. It was as powerful as it gets to see a sporting coach walk in there and pour his heart out over that issue. It's worthwhile watching.
Well, it meant something to him because his father was killed.
Yes,
when he was 18, by a gunman.
Mm.
And I think it just brought back those memories, brought back those emotions. And he sat there and said, "This has been happening forever over here in this country, and we do nothing about it." And sitting here in Australia, you can't believe the gun laws that they have over there. And you still can't believe when they're calling now for more guns. Mm. You know, and they want their teachers to carry guns. They think that that's a better idea. Not get rid of the guns, but give them more guns so teachers can have them on campus. So teachers can start to fire them. You know, their way of thinking is completely different
to ours.
It's unbelievable,
isn't it? Absolute madness.
Well, they believe if teachers have got guns, they'll protect the students. It's mind-blowing, to be honest with you.
That's right. Steve Kerr's father.
His father.
He served in, I think he was even a Secret Service sort of agent in Lebanon.
In Beirut. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He was shot twice in the back of the head in the hallway of his office, down the office or the building that he was in. So I think that's one of the reasons why it hits home for Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it was incredible viewing that yesterday. We'll take a quick break and look at the headlines. And we start Indigenous round tonight, round 12 in the NRL, and some great pictures on the back page of the papers, the back page of the telly. You're Not Black is the headline, the taunt that rocked Hines but made him stronger. He's got a great story, Nicho Hines, doesn't he, Loswell, from a background of turmoil within his immediate family. His mum was in and out of prison. He learned he was Indigenous at the age of 13, I think it was. And, what a poster boy he is for not only the Indigenous community, but for rugby league, the way he carries himself.
Yeah, he's sharing his story now and he feels comfortable to do that. But as a kid, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't know a lot about his upbringing, didn't know a lot about his family background. But Nicho Hines, he feels comfortable in his skin now to share his story. People don't know what others go through, and it affected him quite a bit when people used to taunt him about, "You're not Aboriginal." But, you know, speaks about his mother in and out of jail as a young woman. But he wouldn't change it for anything. He said it's helped shape him who he is. You know, he got an opportunity there with Melbourne. He grabbed it with both hands. And now he's up here with the Sharks playing some tremendous football. on the verge of playing State of Origin football. So it's been a remarkable rise for Nico. But it's a good thing that the NRL do to celebrate Indigenous Week and the Indigenous culture of these players, because they all have wonderful stories to tell. They can all be wonderful role models in their own communities and inspire young Indigenous kids to follow their dreams. And if they work hard and make sacrifices like a lot of people, then they can achieve things.
And there is on the back page of The Australian as well, Hines at Home with Indigenous Identity is the headline there. Now, in the Sydney Morning Herald, I wasn't coming back. Foran rises from rock bottom to join 250 Club, and he's got his own incredible story. Kieran Foran ahead of his 250th tonight for Manly against the Melbourne Storm. You remember the turmoil he went through, Loz, particularly when he just moved to Parramatta. He wasn't there for very long, was he, in the end? And left the game there for a period, came back with the Dogs, had some terrible years of battling injury. And good to see him, you know, string a couple of good years in particular there at Manly just before he leaves to go to the Gold Coast Titans.
I love hearing stories of players that, you know, are prepared to dig in, show resilience, compete hard. People write them off, but they come back and achieve. And that's exactly what Kieran Foran's doing at the moment. And he's playing some really good football, Kieran. He's got some nice touches or had some nice touches. He's starting to run the ball. He's been highly competitive. He's played a lot more games than people would have thought going back to Manly. It just seems as though it's a good fit for him there. Unfortunately, though, he's got to move on at the end of this season, so he'll be trying to get the best out of what's left this year. He's formed a wonderful combination with Daly Cherry-Evans over the years. It's unfortunate, too, that Tommy won't be there to play with him at the back end of the season. But Manly have still got a decent enough team to make the finals, and they need to pull it together very quickly, because they could be knocked around with a couple of Origin selections, none more more so than Daly Cherry-Evans, who'll be, well, we're assuming, the captain of Queensland. But yeah, Kieran Foran, wonderful story, and it's great to see him playing some really good footy.
Still only 31 years of age. Kieran Foran. It feels like he's been around forever, doesn't
he? He's played tough too, Kieran Foran, you know. That's what people forget. But Kieran Foran, when he first came into grade, you talk about halves going to the line and digging deep into the line and wearing a bruise. That's exactly what Kieran Foran did. And this was times before they weren't as protected as they are today. I mean, you go anywhere near the defence now, you pass the ball, you get taken out even with a push, there's a penalty. Whereas Kieran Foran would dig right into the line. And that's what made him so effective. And he would wear those bruises and he got knocked around. But he's been able to overcome that, come back a different player, reinvent himself again. And he's been a wonderful asset for Manly.
Gosh, I look back to that 2011 grand final. And I know Manly had a lot of experience, particularly in the forwards. Jamie Lyon, you know, Brett Stewart at fullback. But their two halves, Foran and Cherry-Evans, they were babies at the
time. Yeah, only young. I think it was Cherry-Evans' first year. But they had so many good players. So I think in that year, Cherry-Evans, on his right side, he had on the inside of him Glenn Stewart and on the outside of him Jamie Lyon.
Yep.
So that really helped Cherry-Evans as a half, because, you know, Glenn Stewart could play like a half and had the brain of a half. So he could guide the team around, get them to certain positions. Jamie Lyon was another one that could give Cherry-Evans that support that he needed. And then on the other side of the field, you had Beaver. And you had Stevie Maddie.
Yep.
So, you know, they had plenty of experience in and around those two young halves, and they just were so talented. They showcased their skills. They weren't afraid of anyone, and they played some magic football, and Manly were the dominant sort of team with Melbourne around that time.
Yeah, they had Watmo.
Anthony Watmo, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And Beaver must have been off the bench.
Beaver was just, he was retired.
Retired, was he?
Yeah,
oh, wait.
But I'm just looking at Manly's forward pack then. Now, Joe Nullivow, Brent Kite. I think Brent Kite won the Churchill. Or maybe that was 08. But Matt Ballon.
So 08 was the 40-0, was it?
40-0, yeah. 11's when they beat the Warriors.
Warriors.
So you got Young, Foran and Cherry-Evans, but look at that forward pack. Yeah, so Ballon, Kite, Joe Nullivow, Watmo, Tony Williams, Glenn Stewart, with Shane Rodney, Bura, George Rose coming off the bench there as well in that grand final with those young halves. But Kieran Foran gave 250 tonight.
Forget Chockey Watmo. Oh, what a player he
you
was.
You forget that at the peak of his powers, he was the most damaging forward in the game.
He had great speed. He was had that low centre of gravity, and he was strong. Mm. Such a strong carry of the football.
Also on the back page of the telly, 700K mystery, Lodge's golden walkout. So Buzz has broken this story that the Warriors have paid around 90% of what was owing on Matt Lodge's contract, despite, of course, him walking out on the club saying he doesn't want to go over and live in New Zealand. He turned up playing club rugby in Brisbane in the last few days as well. So this takes up around $700,000 in their salary cap. And according to this article with Buzz, $500,000 of that next year.
It's a strange one, because if someone goes to the club and asks for a release, you say, yep, no worries, shake hands. You might come to a, you know, an arrangement where you pay them for the rest of the year, but you're certainly not going to pay them out in full for a year in lieu. You're just going to come to an agreement where, well, if you want to go, you can go, but you forfeit the money next season. Or you try and sell him to another club. But they've shaken hands. He's got the golden handshake. So well done to Matt Lodge for being able to get that type of deal done. But if you're the Warriors, I don't know. If you're a fan, you're probably asking yourself, why do we have to pay him all that money? And why does that put us at a disadvantage next year, having $500,000 already off our cap?
Something's happened. It'll come out. No doubt the journos are all over this at the moment.
What could have happened?
Well, mind boggles. I mean, why are you paying him?
Well,
basically,
Lodge has certainly done nothing. He's getting the money
contract out.
If the Warriors are paying him, at least they've just had an agreement there that if he wanted to leave at any time when they first signed him, because they had to sign players, they might have come to an arrangement that Matt, if you want to leave at any time, we'll pay you out in full.
Coach doesn't want him. And they've said, well, Lodge said, well, I'm not leaving. I'm on contract. And they've said, well, mate, here's your money. We don't want you here. You're actually making the club worse. So here's your money.
You try and sell him, though, first.
Maybe.
You just wouldn't pay him out like that.
Maybe they've been trying.
Yeah, I don't think so, because no one's had any contact with him.
Maybe that's the truth. Maybe no one wants him.
Pat's got a conspiracy theory on the text line, which sure, I won't read out because
up, though, wouldn't they? He's not. He's
no, someone pick him up.
There's worse than him playing.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he's a good player. Definitely. He's a good player, Matt Lodge.
Yeah.
Yep. I can't read that out, Pat, for potential defamation reasons, but there's a theory on the text line there. So we've got Josh Reynolds coming up in the UK in about 10 minutes' time after the news. Now, it's the golf event you shouldn't miss, the Drummond Golf Mid-Year Sale. You can save over $300 on Cougar Power Cat, a 12-piece set with a bag. Now just $498 for the Cougar Power Cat set. You can save $31 on TaylorMade Select Cart Bag, only $168. Golf Buddy LTV Voice Range Finder, just $338, save $111. And Callaway Warbird Golf Balls, a 12-pack, only $16.95. Hurry, the Drummond Golf Mid-Year Sale ends soon. Josh Reynolds coming up shortly, and tonight Melbourne up against Manly. And as Loz mentioned earlier, Harry Grant, well, he left the captain's run yesterday, so he's got an adductor sort of groin problem out of the game tonight. Jerome Hughes apparently plays, so back from injury. And life without Turbo starts for Manly, at least this year. And the market we tab for this one, we've got Blocker coming in, so we'll do all our tips for round 12. But the market as it stands has Melbourne $1.28, Manly $3.70, and plus 11.5 at the line. Surely the Storm don't lose three straight, Loz. But you give Manly a bit of a hope here.
No, I give Manly a chance, yeah. I really do. Look, Melbourne haven't been impressive. And I know Jerome Hughes comes back. Still no Big Nelson. Brendan Smith moves back to hooker. There's no Harry Grant. When you look at Manly's side, it's still a decent side. Still a very, very good side. You know, you can tell the depth of a footy team when you look at their bench. And when you look at Manly's bench, it's pretty strong. You've got Dylan Walker, Schuster, Kepi. And there was some talk that Tapau might be available, but it looks as though he's not going to play. But, you know, they're three good quality players that they'll bring on. And, you know, obviously Garrick goes to fullback. They miss Tommy, but they got through the start of the year okay without Tommy. So, look, I'll be tipping Melbourne, but I don't think it'd be a walk in the park for them. Melbourne haven't been setting the world on fire.
Very true. They stuck it to Parramatta, didn't they, last Friday night, the Eagles. So, yeah, intriguing game that tonight. We know where the rivalry these two clubs have had for a good, 14, 15 years now, Melbourne and Manly. Coming up, and he's coming off a win too, by the way, Hull. 31-22, they beat Wigan. Jay Reynolds scored a try as well, but he received a caution for, quote, other contrary behaviour. We'll find out what that's all about. Josh Reynolds is next. Hello, Josh.
Hello, mate. How you going?
Very well, mate. So 18 all at one stage there against Wigan, and then you pulled away for a big win, really. Take us through it.
Yeah, Mido, it was a great win, mate. We sort of went into that week knowing it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, we're going to fly in the Challenge Cup next week. But for us, we really wanted to probably, you know, beat another big team. We beat Catalan maybe about a month ago now and went down to St. Helens. And we sort of said, you know, if we are a chance towards the back end and the real deal, we've got to, you know, win a big game like this. And to be completely honest, mate, I'm really proud of the boys because we flew out of the boxes, as you said. It was about 18-0, and you know, hoping they started to think about the Challenge Cup. You know, they might have gone away, but they definitely fought back, and we definitely had to fight back the momentum towards the, you know, probably the back end of the first half. So, a really good win. One of the big things we done was a really good job on Jai Field. He's so electric. You know, I don't think I've ever played against anyone that scared me so much one on one. So, we done a really good job on him, mate, and like I said, really proud of the boys with a massive win for our sixth win at home on the trot, which is awesome.
You spoke about Wigan having the Challenge Cup coming up next week. Did they rest any of their stars?
No, they didn't, Loz. They went full strength. So last week, so they played the Challenge Cup semi-final 2 weeks ago. Last week, they pretty much rested everyone, but went the other way this week, and I think wanted to get everyone a game before, you know, the big one this week coming up. So yeah, they were full strength. And yeah, like a really, really solid win from us. We probably stuck to our game plan the most we have all year. You know, no one sort of come out and try to solve it themselves, even when it got really close towards that midsection. And then, you know, there's a couple of nervous moments for us at the end, but we held strong and a real confidence booster beating, you know, a really great side in Wigan.
What'd you get cited for, Joshy?
I knew it was coming, kind of here. When I heard the intro, it was, you know, scored a try, and I was like, don't say it. You know?
Sorry, mate. No,
what have you done this time?
You get a caution for anything over here. It was pretty much just sneezed. No. Okay, so what happened? End of the game, I made a little break right on the buzzer, and then got pushed into touch by Jai Field, and then one of the Wigan players just decided to give me an extra little, I don't know, shoulder charge while I was on the ground. So I just, because it was obviously their ball, so I just threw the ball back at him and gave it back to him.
Did you hit him?
Play on.
I hit him.
Yeah,
I hit him. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think it might have brushed his face, maybe.
And that's what you got. For you. Play on.
That's what I got done. Yeah, I know. Serious.
Just throwing the ball at someone.
Oh, for goodness sake. Please.
Tell the school teacher to keep his whistle in his pocket.
I want you to watch the footage and you tell me if it was warranted.
Okay. I'll find it.
Try and find the footage. But yeah, look, one of those things. I always get caught up in it, don't I?
Yes, you do. Something wrong with the boys, what about yourself though, buddy? How do you feel? How's the body? Feel like you're playing good footy at the moment? Where are you at personally?
Yeah, Clarky, I've been really happy with my body of late. I've you know, come back from that minor, you know, arm incident at the start of the year. And, you know, even though I do get a fair few injuries, man, I do a lot of prehab and stuff and make sure I try and keep on top of those things. So my body feels great, mate. And yeah, my form is, you know, I'm pretty happy with it. I definitely want to, you know, get better. But, you know, as Mido said last week, you know, Gailey didn't play the week before, and this was probably the best game myself, Luke and Jake, the fullback, played together. So we can only build on that, mate. And, you know, I just want to do my part. I'm not about being the superstar and whatnot in the team. I just want to make sure, you know, I'm doing everything I need to be, and, you know, the old cliche, nailing my role every week, and I'll be happy.
We spoke a lot the last 2 days about Luttrell going to America to try and sort this hamstring issue he's got. You've had your hamstring issues in the past. Tell us a little bit about, again, you mentioned your prehab or rehab that goes into making sure you can get onto the field. Do you still need to do stuff for that, Joshy, to keep that strong and make sure, even though, like you say, you mightn't feel it now, but to make sure you're looking after those hammies?
Yeah, you definitely do, Clarky. I think with, you know, getting older in the game and whatnot, I definitely had to, you know, because I might have, you know, back in the day, I might have, you know, done a hammy round two of a season. And then, you know, you do the work for probably a month or possibly 2 months after, but then you fall away a bit. Yeah. I've definitely done that. But the more and more these days, I have to, because, your body's a bit more brutal when it's a bit older, and, you know, you tend to break down a bit easier. But I feel if you do a lot of the rehab and a lot of that, you know, probably just upkeep of constantly working it, it definitely helps. And I actually done a similar thing to Luttrell. I didn't get, you know, to go over to America, but I went down to Melbourne and done about a two-week block of training with a bunch of scientists and a few, you know, personal trainers and whatnot. And I think that helped me massively. I think I've only done one hammy. Yeah, this one I've done over here is the only one I've done since then, and that was about 4 or 5 years ago. So hopefully Luttrell can get the same result.
What about one of your club legends, Denny Houghton, playing his 400th game? Like, we celebrate, 200 games over here is a massive achievement in the NRL, but to play 400 games, regardless of what competition, that's a massive achievement.
It's a lot of warm-ups, Loz.
It's honestly, I don't know, they do count them different over here, Loz, and that's not taking anything away from them. But for him, mate, honestly, he's one of the toughest guys I've ever played with, if not the toughest. Like, and I know that is a big call, but have you seen him? He's probably about...
But he's been running around forever. He's the bald-headed fella, isn't he, the hooker?
Yeah, he is. Where's the... he's got the worst cauliflower, so he wears the wears the tape around. But, mate, an absolute warrior. Like, 60 tackles a week, you know, unbelievable service off the ground. Just a true leader. Probably doesn't speak as much. You know, he's a guy that leads with his actions, but a club legend. He's loved by all of us. He's loved by all the fans, and, you know, he's a guy that you want in your team. And, you know, I'm glad I get to play his 400th and 420th or whatever with him, mate. He's honestly a warrior, mate. He's a great guy too.
But as you said, Josh, you know, they count them differently because they count all, you know, Challenge Cups and all that type of stuff. But, I mean, it's still 400 games. 400 games is still 400 games.
Yeah, and you know what, Loz, especially in the middle. I think it's a totally different ballpark playing in the middle. You know, I've had a little dabble in there and coming off the bench and whatnot, and honestly, it's a different kettle of fish. It's honestly quite scary in there if you're not, you know, have that same sort of fitness and have that same sort of tank and you're not used to it. And, you know, you see a lot of, you know, the middle forwards just constantly keep going at the same pace. And then you got me flying out of the gates at 1,000 miles per hour and gone in 5 minutes. So, yeah, I take my hat off to, you know, anyone who plays in the middle rather than anyone for 400 games.
Origin selection is just around the corner over here in Australia. They're announcing the sides on Sunday night. There's no Luttrell, no Tommy T, and we're looking for a new centres combination. Who do you think they'll go with?
It is a tough one, isn't it, Loz? You know, for me, I think you have to pick Katoni Staggs. That's just for me. I think he suits Origin to a T. He's aggressive. When you get him the ball, I think, you know, at the start of the year there was questions about him going to find the ball, but I think he's found that balance now. You know, he's going in and he's obviously said to his half, I need a bit of early ball, and his defense is really, really solid. So I think he's got to get one. And I'm not too sure about the other one. You know what? I know it's probably a bit of a, you know, he's probably not in the running at the moment, but I'd give it to Matty Burton, me, Loz. I just think last year, playing in the centres, it was unbelievable. And I just feel he's a guy, a big occasion, he'd take it with both hands. You know, some people might say I'm wrong, but I just think he'd be a big game player, I do.
Loz is in the Burton camp.
I think he's a wonderful player, Matty Burton. I think if he was playing with Penrith at the moment, we'd be all talking about him as being a walk-up starter for New South Wales. The fact that he's playing with the Dogs and they're struggling is one of the reasons why he may miss selection. But I wouldn't write him off just yet. But the other big talking point, I suppose, is our back rowers, because a lot of our back rowers from last year, you know, your Crichtons and your Simses and Frizz, you know, they haven't been playing the great football this season. So whether you pick and stick or whether you go for some of these new young blokes.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, Loz? You know, Queensland having that all that dominance for all those years, you know, they picked and sticked. And I think for me, a definite has to be Crichton. I think he's a handful, and, you know, he's probably not, you know, setting the world on fire, as you said, as he'd like to be. But I think he's very tough to handle, especially in the Origin arena. And I think Liam Martin, he suits Origin a lot, whether he comes off the bench or, I think he could even start, as another player. But you mentioned someone like Frizzlos, you know, if he does get picked, he's going to turn up, isn't he? You just know some players that if they do get selected for Origin, it's not a question. It's probably the club form, and as you said about Burton, the club form, that people are a bit weary of that. But then I remember, you know, back in the day, I don't know exactly the example, but, you know, someone like Nate Miles, you know, he probably wasn't in the greatest team, but then whenever it was Origin time, it was on. So I'm sure whoever gets the nod will do a great job for New South Wales, and hopefully they can win the series.
Sadly, I couldn't find your little incident, Josh, anywhere from your game last weekend. But I'll tell you what, when you YouTube Josh Reynolds' videos, you should see some of the stuff that comes up here.
What have we got?
What's the first thing we got? Here he is, and he's standing on his balcony with the Opera House and the Sydney Harbour Bridge in the background. Look right at that, Loz. What a view that is.
Geez, you're doing all right there.
You're going all right. He's sending a message. This is obviously just before he's moved overseas, and just sending a message to the whole fans about the hope they should have of his impending, he's just signed with the club at that point, I'm guessing, sending them a message there. But I'll tell you what, right just down from the PM's residence.
Tell you what, it's not a bad view, Grubby.
Going all right there.
It was nice there, boys.
You still got that joint?
No, definitely not. Definitely out of my pressure. Maybe in Clarkie's actually too, really. Definitely not mine, though. But I rented a lovely little spot there, and I copped actually a fair bit of, not slack, but the whole people were like, oh, don't expect that over here.
What, don't expect a house or don't expect blue sky?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. Yeah.
Well,
what's that thing up? Yeah, a bit of sun.
Well, I'm just reading some of the comments here. He will be amazed when he sees a proper bridge. Welcome to Hull.
I'll send you a photo, Mido, of the bridge they're talking about. It's literally the Humber Bridge. It's got brown water underneath it. And it looks okay. Well, I got Harbour Bridge in my house, but it's about 20 k's away. No, it's definitely not as nice, but don't go. They're probably not some great things on there either, boys. So don't scroll too far.
How's Boris going over there? Will he survive?
His
party?
Yeah, he's cooked, Boris. He's cooked.
Mate, he's gone.
Yeah, he's going to be cooked.
Every time I put the radio on, he's apologising, and he's on the back foot, Loz. I could feel it. I could feel it through the radio.
Can't lie to a liar, Boris.
He's not changing his tune, though.
No, he's gone. He's cooked.
He's sticking solid to
mate,
his
there's photo his evidence, mate.
I know, but he's sticking to his story.
Well, I told you already, it wasn't me, Shaggy, until there's a photo or there's a video. Then, unfortunately, you're cooked.
Jeez, he had some parties over there.
He's cooked, Boris.
Is it? Honestly, I know it's not funny, but isn't it funny? He's the leader of this country. Tell him, no, don't go near anyone. And he's having these parties. And
are the boys blowing up, or they say much about it, or they don't care?
Oh, nah. I think they're all for it, to be honest.
He's normal.
Exactly. I think everyone, you know, it was a tough time, and he probably just needed a bit of a release. Let his hair down. Let that beautiful hair down of his and just have a couple of little parties. But, you know, yeah, I think he's going to cop it, Loz. I think he's gone.
He's gone.
He's cooked,
don't he? Yeah.
Before you go, mate, give us a tip in this Challenge Cup final. Wigan naturally favourites against Huddersfield. We got a text here from Big Nose saying, boys, put your house on Huddersfield to win the Challenge Cup and Cogger to kick the winning field goal like he did last week. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of, because obviously we talk about that training. A lot of the boys are going in that way too. They think Huddersfield might just grind it out. Yeah, they're a very hard team to break down, Huddersfield, and they throw some really good shape at you. They're always asking you questions. It's not two plays for a big shift. It's pretty much every single player. They're asking questions of your middles and whatnot. But then on the other side, you've got Jai Field, who can honestly just explode at any time, and he's done it in multiple games. He's leading the Man of Steel by, I think, 5 or 6 points. They got, the Cust, who's been playing really well, Bateman, playing a couple of big games. So for me, I think Wigan will have too much for them, but I think it's going to be a great game. And I think everyone's sort of saying it's like one of those ones. It'd be good for the game just to sort of see Huddersfield win and, not the usual big four clubs. So yeah, it should be a good game either way, and I'm keen to watch it, actually.
Other than Jack Cogger, is there any other Aussies in that Huddersfield team?
There is Ricky Latelli, Loz. Obviously played for the Sharks. Chris McQueen.
Chris McQueen, back row.
Yeah, who's been going really well, actually, Loz. He's nearly leading the top try scorers. He's very, I think he's close to the top, actually. So, yeah, so it'd be nice to see a couple of them boys win, but I get a bit jealous of watching those big games. I want to be there, but it is what it is. Hopefully it's a good game either way.
And you'll probably be a bit nostalgic seeing your old Bulldogs playing at Belmore against the Dragons Sunday afternoon. Lozzie, you said your warm-ups didn't go as long when you played at Belmore. Is that right?
No, you'd warm up for about... Well, you warmed up for as long as you could, but then you'd feel like people were sort of circling you and just yelling abuse, and then it was like, yeah, cut it short. Let's go back into the sheds.
I'm warm.
Let's stretch up in the sheds.
Well, the good thing for me was I knew all them Loz. I'd tell all them boys, come down, make sure you're giving them some dirty looks. And all. Yeah, but they'd be all at the pub and walk straight down. But, yeah, had some great memories there, Middo. And I actually sent a nice photo the other day of, that last night I did play there. So, yeah, it'll always be close to my heart, that ground, and it's always good to, see some footy get played back there.
Yeah, it'd be good to see, despite how the Bulldogs are going. It'd be good to see the game there at Belmore Sunday. Arvo, hey, mate, enjoy your weekend. What are you doing this weekend then?
Well, this is the thing. That's probably I know it sounds bad, but the only positive about not being in the Challenge Cup, you get a couple of weekends off. So we got a train Friday morning, and then I think I'm just going to have a cruising weekend, mate, because the back end of the season is pretty jam-packed. We've actually got a pretty tight schedule with some close games in between. So
no travel on the agenda this weekend.
Bender.
No.
Go to the Bender.
No.
Three-dayer.
Says the retired player here.
Yeah. Go to the three-dayer, buddy.
Oh, no. Because you know what actually happens over here when I say, oh, yeah, you want to go? They say, wake up. You're 33. Grow up.
I'm like, I'll tell you what, though. You'd have a sneaky joint over there somewhere, Yoshi. I know Hodjo's not listening, but you would. You'd have a sneaky little pub there you'd go to.
I'm not going to lie. There is an absolute spot downstairs. No, honestly, no. I've only taken one of the boys there because I don't want anyone to know about it. Right at my alley. Oh,
good stuff, mate. Enjoy. Chat next week.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys. Cheers.
And that Challenge Cup final, Huddersfield, $3. Outsiders, Wigan, $1.38. Line 7.5 with Tab and Huddersfield, the plus. News is next. Okay, our scoreboard update. And, we saw last night the A-League All-Stars in Barcelona. Well, the A-League All-Stars led 2-1. Barca scored a couple of goals in the last 20 minutes and won 3-2. 70,000, though, there at Accor Stadium.
Looked good too, Mido, didn't it? 70,000. I didn't watch a great deal of it, but I watched the sort of the opening sort of 20 minutes, 25 minutes. It looked like Barcelona was going to win by 10 goals. They had all the ball. Tell you what, I don't know his name, but number 7 for Barcelona. Geez, he looked good.
Not sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue his name either, but I don't know whether he's a super... Well, he would be a massive name, I suppose, over there, but I don't know how old he is. But geez, he looked silky with his skills.
Yeah, so they got there in the end, Barca, so gave a good account of themselves. He could have thought, well, they're in holiday mode, but put on a show there for the fans last night. Now, in the French Open, Darius Saville, she's beaten the 32nd seed, Petra Kvitova, 6-4, 6-2, the Aussie. Jason Kubler, the Aussie qualifier, is out, though. He lost to the 10th seed, Cameron Norrie, straight sets. Alia Tomjanovic, she went down against her Russian opponent in three sets. Novak Djokovic through in straight sets through to the next round. Alex Zverev, well, he took five sets to beat his Argentine opponent, Baez. Carlos Alcaraz, the emerging Spanish star, took him five sets to get past his compatriot Albert Ramos Vinolas, 4 hours, 34 minutes on court as well. Emma Raducanu, she went down to her Russian opponent Saznovich in three sets. And, well, the fourth seed is out. Maria Sakkari of Greece, she lost to Karolina Muchova of the Czech Republic in straight sets as well. Jamie Rogers, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. I just have to start off by saying I think I put forward probably one of the worst multis this show has seen yesterday. We've had better luck, but all three of the legs didn't get up. We needed the Warriors to win. They lost by 10. I needed Clay to get 3 three-pointers. He got 2. And then we needed Luka Doncic to combine with Clay to get 45 points or more, and they got 42. So every single leg was a fail. I've got to say, Loz, when it's my own multi and I'm backing it myself sitting at home, I don't mind as much. But when you know that you've put it out there and other people have gotten on board, you lose the enjoyment of watching. Like yesterday, I was messaging Jared. I just hated every single second of it yesterday. And even at the point when the Warriors were coming back in that first fourth quarter, I thought, oh, they got the gap to 8 points, maybe. But no.
Yeah, JR, I was going to pull you up yesterday on it, but I thought, you know what, you're going to go through this. You're going to go through this tough period, and it makes you a better person.
You certainly come in dragging your feet. Last Thursday, I came sprinting through the doors. Today, I was just dragging my
feet. Brings you back to reality, JR. Brings you back to reality.
It does.
At least you've had a bit of success. So yeah, I just cop it every week.
Well, so I started off well. My first one got up, and then yesterday was just a disaster on all fronts. But we'll be back next week, and hopefully we can find a winner. But I just thought, even just watching it yesterday, it was the Warriors bench that had the most success. I thought Golden State just weren't as sharp. They let Dallas get into a groove, and once a team like that does get into like a three-point groove, it's tough to get them out of it. And you could tell that Dallas was a team playing with nothing to lose, and the Warriors did nothing to slow it down. But it was so interesting because after game three, I felt like Luka Doncic and Jason Kidd, who's the coach, I felt like they were almost defeated, and the way that they were speaking in their press conferences alluded to that. But then yesterday, oh, it's not lost yet. We're back in it. We can do this. I thought it's just so funny when you watch the press conferences after a loss versus a win. So, hey, they now think that they can go and take this out. So good luck to them. And guys, today it is game 5 in the East with Miami up against Boston. And this has just been a wild series. I don't know how else to describe it, Jared. It's just wild. 20-point leads in all 4 games, and both sides are dealing with injuries. So Marcus Smart for Boston and Tyler Hero for Miami are both questionable to play today.
Yeah, and the market with Tab has Miami at home, by the way, $2.20 outsiders. With the series locked at 2, the Celtics are $1.70 favourites and -2.5 at the line. Love a game 5 when it's 2-2 in the playoffs. So, a huge game today. That tips off at 10:30 and stacks of markets open with Tab for that one. Good on you, Jay. I'll be back with the news at 7. By the way, number 7 for Barca, Dembele. He's on, I think, something around €250,000 a week.
A week?
Yeah, just a week.
Oh, there you go. Who does it? What nationality is he?
He's a good player. He got me there.
He looked.
He's French.
Very good. French.
He's French.
Yep. He'd be in the French national side, no doubt.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. No. And as I said, I only watched 20 minutes, but they had all the ball and they just looked very dangerous. So the All-Stars did really well to only be beaten by one goal. They gave a show. I'm sure people who turned up there last night had a fantastic enjoyed themselves. It was a great occasion. 70,000 people getting out there to support Barcelona. I think 60-odd thousand, 70, well, probably the majority of them were all there to support Barcelona, not the All-Stars. Just shows you the pull they have.
Oh,
isn't it?
Huge,
like, it's amazing.
Huge, these clubs.
Like, they are huge. And yeah. Because I'm not a soccer stroke football sort of fanatic. I watch the Premier League and maybe some A-League games, although I haven't watched any of them this year. But, you know, you know who the Premier League sides are. Like Barcelona, yeah, hear of them being a good club, but they're not someone that I would march out to a core stadium and watch. But if United or Liverpool or someone like that was here, you'd want to go out and see them play. But just the reach that they have all around the world is massive.
and 4:30 Sunday morning, by the way, on Stan Sport, Champions League final, Liverpool and Real Madrid. Coming up, Paul Gow to talk some golf. He's in Europe still. Well, is he? Gowie, hello to you. How are you, mate?
Hello, fellas. Yeah, still in London, coming home tomorrow. So it's been a good trip.
And give us a taste of some of those courses you've played.
Oh, ridiculously good. Headed down to the other side of England and went down to Sandwich, where they play at Royal St. George's. And done a bit of filming around a course there that held the 1932 Open Championship around a course called Prince's, which is really good. And then, been doing a fair bit of filming. We went to the only golf course built by and designed by the great Seve Ballesteros, called the Shire London. So I've been a few. It's been good. After I spoke to you last, I played in a corporate golf day event with Kenny Dalglish. That was my second game with it, and we won. So victory, my only victory for a long, long time.
Gowie, I was watching your episode with Nathan Cleary the other night on Fox. Who's the best non-golfer? So the best athlete that's obviously not a professional golfer that you've seen out of any code?
All right. You must have been really, really bored, Clarkie, that's for sure.
No, it was good. I was just having a look. Nathan looks like he knows exactly what he's doing. I saw a good golfer.
What do they call him? A golf simulator, was it?
Yeah.
I saw some of that.
Yeah, Penrith Drum Golf. Actually, he's really good. His dad obviously can play. He's a good golfer. And when they're in New Zealand, he started to play a bit of golf. And, he can hit it, actually. He can smash it. But to answer your question, Greg Blewett is by far the best I've ever seen.
Okay.
They talk about Ponting and a few others. But Blewett, I played with him in a pro-am around New South Wales. And, man, he could have turned pro. He's probably, Scott Draper turned pro, who was a tennis player.
Yep.
Done well, won the Victorian PGA Championship. But Greg Blewett, if he really put his mind to it, he's probably a bit past now, but probably 15 years ago, he could have turned pro, I reckon. He could hit the ball. It is long and straight and putted well, and, he was really good. And even out of the American ones over here, there's a few that I've seen out and about, but none to what Greg Blewett was like.
Okay. Gowie, what about Bray Tanasta? And is it Kalen Ponga supposed to be a gun golf player, or was a gun golf player?
Yeah. Kalen Ponga played for the New Zealand juniors. I think it was the under-18s when he was in New Zealand and before his rugby league career took off. So I'm hoping to have him on the show at one time. We've had a lot of requests to try to get him on.
Yep.
I don't know how much golf he plays now. Well, Braith was pretty good when he was about 15 or 16. He knocked around with Ewan Porter and a couple of others and played a few events. He hasn't played a lot of golf of late. Last time I played with him, he couldn't hit the side of a barn. He was going everywhere. So, it was awful. Brace, we're going to try to look for your ball again. That's no good. Jeez. So I got sick of looking for his ball.
Sounds like my golfing.
But he could play of the day. I don't think he actually just doesn't get much time to play, which it's one of those silly games. If you don't play much, you don't get any better.
That's it. Okay. Let's wrap the PGA Championship from last week. And firstly, Mito Pereira had one of those moments that unfortunately will probably go down in a little bit of infamy. I saw some people saying Jean Vandeville. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but and what about the way he handled himself as well? He made himself available for every interview after what could have only been a shattering experience to double bogey the last and miss out on a playoff.
It was tough to watch because you're thinking, his golf swing and all that sort of stuff's not so pretty, and you sort of half like that, right? Because it's not the pretty McIlroy swing. He toughs out and you're thinking, wow, he's going to win this major and then changes his life, and then it all turns within 15 minutes. But he handled himself exceptionally well. But he will be, thinking about it because you don't get that many chances. He is no Justin Thomas or a McIlroy or a Dustin Johnson, so I don't know whether he'll ever get that chance again. So I hope he does. I love the way his attitude was exceptional. He handled it very, very well. It was a learning experience, but you don't get too many chances. Even Justin Thomas said that. You just don't get that many chances. Only four times a year for a major. And, the best player of all time, Jack Nicklaus, only won 18 majors. It's not like the tennis players that just win 20 and 25 majors. So Yeah, he was good. It was hard. It was really hard to watch. You know, I thought the golf course come up extremely tough, and those last, you know, holes, and I guess that's what they're after, was a bit of a show. But whoever backed Justin Thomas, I think would be very happy.
You actually tipped him.
Yes.
Yeah, I tipped him,
but he was short. He was in short there. And,
wins you know, a win.
Really out of the crew on the last day. But, you know, it was in, it was, odds were shocking, that's for sure. It should have been 20s or something like that, because that's hard to win.
Gowie, let me tell you this, mate. On this program, just accept it, because I'll tell you, when you lose, they'll give it to you.
Oh, no, I get a point. Wow. Oh, no, it's all fun. Bet with caution. Golf's hard, right? 156 players last week to pick a winner. So when you get one right, that's a good thing. But he's a, you know, he's a real player. I've been telling you guys for probably 3 or 4 months now. He's, it looks like he's been working with Tiger on the types of shots to hit at the required time, and I think he did that really well on Sunday. So, yeah, he's playing. He's backing it up this week. They're at Colonial, and he's, it's pretty hard to back up the second week because everyone's tacking on the back. But not his type of golf course this week, but, you know, it was a big effort last week.
Now, tell us about this golf course being overrun by kangaroos, Gowie.
Yeah, how about this? The Rundle Hills on the Gold Coast, the kangaroos there have been, you can go on Twitter, you can watch it everywhere. Is that the kangaroos have been, you know, taking out players. There's been 15 people taken out by in the last couple of weeks. They've actually closed the golf course up there for a number of reasons, not just the kangaroos, but the kangaroos don't want anyone to play their golf course. So believe it or not, I was at a golf course yesterday over here and someone asked me about it. That's why I looked it up, and it's quite evil that the kangaroos are, you know, scratching people, kicking them, and you know, not that you don't kick yourself for hitting a bad shot. No good when a kangaroo's taking it out on you.
Yeah, geez. Okay, Arundel Hills on the Gold Coast, right? Yeah, it looks. I'm just looking at it here. It looks a really nice track as well. Now, what are you watching out for at the Senior PGA Championships?
Yeah, so this backs up over the PGA Championships. A lot of really good players, but there's one that stands out. He hasn't won since he's been over there. It's Padre Harrington. And he's the one that just jumps off the page. That I don't know what price he is. I can't get up the tab account. But he looks fantastic going into this course this week. But he just hasn't won. He's been there around about. And he's a winner. We know he's, all the majors that he's won and how good he's played. So I like him this week. But seven Aussies over there. It's the players of old. Andre Stoltz, Rod Pamplin, Stendon, Leaney, Richard Green, Allenby and Appleby. Are playing, so just sort of along Fox Sports, but I think that'll be an interesting one watching the old blokes, you know, sort of hit it around. And but Padre, I'll tell you what, he stands out big time.
He's $9 on the third line of betting. Steve Stricker's the $5 favourite. What about on the PGA Tour? What have we got this weekend? A Charles Schwab,
yeah, Charles Schwab. We've got four Aussies in there. We're in wonder what this week, which I think he'll come to the top, is Minwoo Lee. He's got to make enough money to. You know, all with all his exemptions that he's had going into the US, he really wants to stay there. He doesn't really want to go back to Europe, but if he doesn't perform well in the next couple of weeks, he'll be out. So I think he'll just such a good player. He'll come good. Bunch of players sort of backing up, but I'm going to go pretty long here. I'm going with Brian Harman. He is the Ricky Ponting look-alike. Have a look at his pictures. He looks like punter for sure. He finished off last week at 534. He had 69 last round. Shorter golf course, you've got to manoeuvre your way around here. That's why Colin Morikawa was played well around here. So I don't know what Brian Harman is, what price. And then Taylor Cooch, he had a good round last week, and he's just one of those young guys that just keeps getting better. And I don't know when he's going to win, this kid, but he'll keep winning. Where Brian Harman's won a couple of times on tour. I'm not betting with much confidence this week, I can tell you.
I'm just showing Clarkie Brian Harman. He is a dead ringer for Ricky Ponting.
He is, isn't he? Ricky Ponting before before Ricky got the fix-up. Back in the heyday, Ricky Ponting. It's the heyday punter. It's the Bourbon and Beefsteak punter for sure.
Mate, it is ridiculous. And you see him up close. You
my goodness.
Go, hey, Ricky, it's unbelievable.
That. Yeah, with a cap on, he looks a lot. Yeah, he does too.
That is punter. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Left-handed. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Was punter right-handed cricket? I don't remember.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay, so you had Brian Harman, who's $41. Did you give us a roughie and a top Aussie?
Yeah, Taylor Cooch. I don't know what price he'll be out there a little bit, but I think Minwoo Lee will go okay. There's only four Aussies: Lucas Herbert, Matty Jones, and Kem Davis in this week. So they've all played last week. All four of them played at the PGA last week. Bit of an easier golf course this week. They won't be dashed up as much. So fingers crossed, Minwoo can do something pretty special this week.
Okay, great stuff, Gowie. So, yeah, Brian Harman, $41, Taylor Gooch, $34, and I'll find Minwoo Lee's price for our listeners. But, mate, you have a safe trip home.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you next week.
Minwoo Lee, $126, by the way, to win the Charles Schwab Challenge, and that was Gowie's top Aussie. And in that top Aussie market, out of the four players, he's the longest odds at $4, with Herbert, Cam Davis, Matt Jones also playing in the Charles Schwab Challenge on the PGA Tour. Now, we've had a text here from Paranoid. It says, watch a 25-second YouTube clip of the best in-swinger you've ever seen. Type in Jonah Handy. Talk about hitting the top of off. Interested in how Clarkie would have played that. And this was going around on social media in unplayable. The last couple of days.
It's an unplayable delivery.
So just go onto YouTube. Just type in Jonah Handy. But
I think he might have had a little bit of help from the surface. I think it's definitely hit a crack after looking at it, Mido, in slow motion and zooming in. I think he's obviously right arm in swing bowler, bowling to a right-handed batsman. He does angle it in and does swing, but it certainly hits a crack and seems about half a metre. So that delivery is, unfortunately for whoever the batsman is unplayable.
I reckon Pengilly would have put his bat down and just nerdled at the third man had he had an opportunity, had probably his career not been ruined.
Probably.
There at Reston Suburbs. Morning to you, Adam. How are you, mate?
I wouldn't have seen it, Jared. I would have completely just not seen it at all.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I've seen the video. That has flung a mile, hasn't it? Good luck trying to keep that out.
Now, you walked with Royce yesterday. How did you pull up?
I feel all right, Loz. I don't feel too bad, to be honest. It was a long and arduous day. I didn't choose a very good leg to go climbing Mount Victoria.
Yeah. No, you've played this poorly.
Very poorly. We had a great day. We managed to make it. Everyone made the whole, I think it was about 29 Ks we had to make. And you were right, Loz. You warned me yesterday saying everyone will be happy and cheerful for the first 3 or 4 Ks. And then after that, the reality will start setting in. Well, we actually started at Little Hartley at the bottom of the mountains over there, the other side, and walked along this, you know, just country road for 3 or 4 Ks, and all of a sudden said, okay, we're going to turn right, head into the bush. And we just went straight uphill for the next hour and a half in Mount Victoria, and it was deathly silent. Let me give you the tip.
Yeah, not many people start to talk and keep the energy up.
No. The talk dissipated very quickly, but everyone did well. Sheensy was on the walk yesterday, Loz. He did great. Warren McDonald was there, Scando. Brandy, how fits Brandy, Loz?
Mate, he just hasn't changed, Brandy.
No, not at all. He wouldn't have blown out a candle at the end of the day. He was flying.
You know what, Brandy, they reckon he's just like a natural too. Like, even he doesn't have
fast
to train.
Metabolism.
Yeah, just doesn't have to train, and he still stays skinny, but he's still fit.
Gee, those people annoy me.
Like he could have 6 months off and then come back fine and do a time trial and then win it.
Yeah. There was a few stories going around about his feet on the training field back in the day. They reckon Gus berated him one time when he turned up to training in his nightclub gear and then went out to proceed to break the 400-metre records at 10 of training when they were doing 400-metre repeats.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I've heard some amazing stories with Brandy. Freddie, on the other hand.
But I've got to say, boys, it's for a great cause, and Royce is an absolute machine. The way he's been walking from Goolagong, and he pretty much leads the pack the whole way and just keeps going. And a lot of people struggle to keep up with him. I was struggling to keep up with him for a lot of the day there yesterday, so he's got two more days to go. I think he's got the King, Wally Lewis, Gene Miles, and the Axe, Trevor Gilmeister, joining him today for his 20Ks. And his final day is on Friday. We're going to walk down the mountains into Penrith Park on Friday afternoon and Friday evening, which will no doubt be very emotional for him after a 10 or 11-day walk.
Let's talk some racing. And we've got the Tab Kingsford Smith there at Eagle Farm on Saturday. It's been a change in favouritism at the top of the market as well. Paul Lely was $4, now just back to $5. Money for On Trivier, six into $4.60. Private Eye racing here as well. Obviously, the Stradbroke is its big target, but how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, this is a sneaky good Group 1 race, Jared. A lot of depth to the race this year. I understand why Paul Lely and Andre Vieira are ahead of the market at the moment. Both of them are great in the Durban 10,000. We know with Paul Lely, his form's been stacking up right through the campaign behind Marzu. He was great in the TJ Smith, running third behind Nature Strip. So he's going to find the right race for him heading towards a straight break. On Trevier, we know how good she was from the back in that Doomben 10,000 making a long, sustained run. But there are a couple of horses, I think, at odds who can feature getting back onto a drier track. I think Ellsberg's dangerous, getting back onto a drier track there and following along up on the speed. And my old mate, Jared, Signore Fox, he's crying out for a dry track. I thought he was great in the 10,000 last start. He's going to be a big improver as well at big odds. So this is going to be a really good race. Lots of depth to the Kingston Smith this year. Wouldn't surprise me if the winner comes out at six or seven horses if you're playing wide in the quaddie.
What's happened down in South Australia?
Oh, Loz, did you catch this yesterday?
Saw a little bit of it, and I didn't. I just saw the headline.
Yeah, this was just bizarre. Unfortunately, there was a horse called Flying Barty, which was caught underneath the barrier stalls at Balaclava there yesterday. And obviously, it's a horrible situation for everyone involved, the barrier attendants, the starter, the stewards. And they backed out the two horses either side of Flying Barty, and they were both late scratching. So they couldn't extricate the horse from underneath the barriers. And they end up starting the race with the horse still stuck in the barriers. And it's just quite a bizarre situation, quite distressing for a lot of people on track there yesterday. I'm not quite sure it was the right move that was made by stewards. I think they're going to have some sort of investigation over the next couple of days. But no doubt, I don't think that race should start with a horse still trapped underneath the barriers. In the usual situation, they probably would have backed all the other horses out and cleared them all from the barriers and then got Flying Barty out. But unfortunately, they didn't do that. So definitely a watch this space and see what comes out of this investigation down there in South Australia.
Anthony Cummings has been fined.
Yeah, this is a bizarre one yesterday as well, Jared, at Canterbury. They wrapped up an inquiry going back from a couple of months ago at Canterbury at a midweek meeting. Actually, Stable brought the wrong horse into the mounting yard for a race. They brought a mare into the yard when it should have been a three-year-old colt. So he's copped a $2,500 fine. He's obviously regrets the decision, regrets what happened on course that day. He'll cop his punishment and move on. It was a good meeting at Canterbury yesterday as well. Jared caught the replays yesterday after I finished and a couple of nice winners there too.
Yep. No, thanks so much, mate. Looking forward to getting your mail tomorrow.
See you, boys.